Hi, this is Ken Calais, and you're watching Good Life with Dean Wilson.
Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us, wherever you're joining us. If you're joining us on television here in Santa Barbara area at TVSB, we welcome you. And, of course, so many of you are joining us all over the world on all these different platforms and Good Life Television, the YouTube channel, and, of course, the podcast, which you can find. You can search Good Life Conversations. We're talking with good people about good stuff. We're dwelling on the good stuff. And these are entrepreneurial ventures. These are great achievements and great people, people of nobility and purpose and passion. It's been so fun. So there, you got plenty of negativity everywhere. What you can find here is a lot of the good stuff. So we're so glad you're with us. Today we're coming to you from Marshmallow Skies Studio here at Damascus Road Productions. Fantastic people. We've been coming to you here. We had Dean Kane and others from these studios. And so we're so grateful to be here. It's fun to have a little field trip. And I'm really sitting here with a legend. I'm so excited. I said before we came on, it's hard to know where to start with a guy like Ken Calais, but welcome.
Thank you, Dean.
Good to have you.
You're good at this.
Thanks for having me.
Wow.
Thank you. Thanks for having me and us. And, you know, I've been reading about Ken for a couple of days now, and it's been a fascinating thing. And there's a book about his experience specifically with Fleetwood Mac. But essentially, to cut to the chase, Ken's recordings in terms of his work in music and production has sold 50 million copies. And so if you just get your mind around that. And a big part of that story was Fleetwood Mac and Making Rumors, which I'd encourage you to check that out, because it's a fascinating story. And there's some wild times, and you're talking about California, Hollywood in the 70s. And yep. What was that like?
Well, it was amazing. I grew up in San Jose, California.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to be a lawyer. This is what my parents wanted me to be. So I was going to be a lawyer, and I went to college. And suddenly, the last couple years before I graduated, I worked in a law office to see if that's really what I wanted. And I decided it wasn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I looked around, and I decided music is what I wanted to do. I learned to play music. I started writing songs. And eventually, I moved to Los Angeles in 1971. Got a job as an intern at Wally Heider's studios, which was, I thought it was a tiny studio, but they did a lot of live recordings around the world. So I was able to, as a newbie, be on stage with all the top bands. And the 70s were, you know, it was great. It was when the bra burning happened and free speech and everything that was great. So it was a beautiful time to be alive.
Yeah.
Those of you born after 1980, sorry.
You missed it.
Yeah.
So I was going to go back to just your passion for music and your interest in music. And let's just reflect for a second on music as just a whole. Like, music, I mean, I'll just tell you, I mean, I think it's such a gift, music. I think it's a gift. I think it's something, there's something really amazing that happens. And just, I sat in this chair and before we came on, and they we're going to describe what's going on here, but they played the music of this masterpiece. I've never heard anything like that in my life. I'll just tell you, sitting right here in this studio listening to that. But what is it about music that is so powerful? What is it? Is it always been in your blood? Always been an interest?
I get tears in my eyes when I hear music, and I hear the things that make me smile, and somebody else had lyrics that are impressive, and in music, you know, that's why I decided not to be a lawyer. I decided music is like being a doctor. It you can make people feel great. You can cure different ailments. You can change moods in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's just, and we sit in here, we turn these knobs, and you can instantly get gratification. I can add a little reverb to a vocal, and suddenly I just get the chills. That's like, that's what I wanted to feel. And I got to feel it right then.
That, you know, is amazing.
And my Klaus, my engineer, and we sit here and we get to make music. This song that we played for you today was Joni Mitchell's song recorded in 1973, People's Parties. And she entrusted us to reinterpret her music in a way that has never been interpreted before. When she mixed the song in 1973, combined all the instruments on a 16-track tape, she had to put it in two speakers. That's the only choice. She had one speaker, mono, or two speakers. And that was her way that she could display it. And now we have, 9.1.6. That's what, 916, 15, 16 speakers. So we can spread her music out over 16 speakers, surrounding it behind you, in front of you, over your head, and only if it makes sense. But it's so magical. And when we turn the lights down, you feel like you're in Joni's world for 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
So, okay, for a dummy like me, let's break this down. So you're saying in 1973, she records that song. What is it? You're saying at that time it had to go through one speaker, mono, or two. So that's basically all the instruments. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Are in just having to pack into these two.
Right. But if you want to hear them, you got to play them to two speakers, because that's what everybody at home listened to. They either had a mono car speaker or stereo two. System at home.
And that was called in stereo. That was like the cutting edge. Now, when I sat in here, so you're saying, is it like guitars over there and the...
If it makes sense. You know, I like to put the most of the music in the front, but like Joni's got a guitar that kind of goes bump, 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 and we put it up here, and it's just like, that was nice. It was like a little butterfly flying by you, bump, 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 and that was nice. But so we try not to distract anybody, like, what was that?
Yeah, right.
But it's her production, what she envisioned was little nuances that would go on in the speakers. But she had to place them in the front, so they had to get over top of the volume of the drums and the bass and the vocal, so those nuances got lost.
You're really bringing it. I mean, you say you're bringing it to life in a sense. You're getting the full, a fuller maybe.
More full.
And I was talking to your colleague here before, and he said something really powerful. He's saying the goal here is to not lose the thing, what it was, the heart, the essence, because somebody who's attached to that, you don't want to lose that.
Right.
But then you're adding all this. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And we've had people that I've literally had some of the musicians that played on some of these songs cry sitting here listening
to it.
You know, it was such an emotive experience. It was amazing. But, you know, it's not like we're repainting. We're taking somebody's painting and, you know,
changing it.
It's, you know, if you stand outside that door, it should still sound the same as a stereo.
So how does this work here? Like, is this like a project based work that you're doing? You get a commission like Joni Mitchell, and she said, or like, how do you guys operate?
Well, so it's pretty simple. So what this all started, there used to be stereo, and then they started to create the hardware manufacturers started creating a thing called 5.1, which was five speakers plus a subwoofer. And then now Dolby has created what they call Dolby Atmos, and it's another term Apple calls it, spatial audio. So if you go to Apple's music website and you look up the spatial audio, you'll hear this song, Beatles. They've been commissioning all the labels to remix the biggest albums. So Chicago's been remixed, Beatles have been remixed, Beach Boys have been remixed into spatial audio or Dolby Atmos.
So that's happening right now.
That's happening, yeah. That's what happened. This came to us about a year ago. I'm pointing to this Joni Mitchell mix that we've got nominated for an Immersive Audio Award for. Well, the people said it came to life. It's so spectacular sounding.
Yeah. And will you do more of those kinds of things?
Yeah, yeah. The nice thing, too, is that Apple has actually said if you create a spatial audio mix, we will put it up on their Apple website, which means an unknown artist could say, ask us to do a spatial audio mix, and we would do it, and it would be on a playlist, could be on a playlist right next to Taylor Swift on the Apple website.
So spatial audio.
Spatial audio.
Is that kind of like the new thing?
It's Dolby Atmos is what it's.
Dolby Atmos.
Is what we call it. It's what the equipment is called.
Dolby Atmos.
Yeah, Dolby
Atmos. But the idea is called spatial audio.
Right. It's completely surround. We have front speakers. We have two speakers in the front, two speakers to the side, two speakers to the rear, four speakers or six speakers overhead. And it corresponds to what a consumer would have if they had a corresponding system at home.
Right.
And they can, there are certain home systems that we recommend if you want to get into spatial audio at home. And they're inexpensive, under around $1,000.
To have something.
Right. And you'll have, they have speakers that bounce off the ceiling and it'll turn your, with a relatively small investment, it'll turn your viewing room into a audio wonderland.
This is a whole new world. Like, yeah. My mind is kind of blowing. So, okay, I got so many questions. Let's go to Fleetwood Mac for a second, because that was one of the big...
So I would, just to finish that thought.
Please, please.
I would encourage people to go to our website and look at some of what I have picked as some of the best home systems. It's not going to break a bank, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
What is the main... What's the main website?
Marshmallow Skies.
Marshmallow Skies.
Yeah.
Okay. So find Marshmallow Skies. Before we get to Fleetwood Mac, actually, I want to talk about Artist Max for just a second, because this is such a powerful thing. I'm a huge believer in mentoring. I'm a huge believer in, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever field you are in, everybody needs this. I mean, to try to blaze a trail without looking for guidance from people that are ahead of you. Tell us what Artist Max does, why you do it.
Well, Artist Max is an artist development program where we try to accelerate the career path of an aspiring artist. It was based around my daughter, Colby Calais,
right.
when she got discovered by a record company, and they grabbed her. They signed a record deal with her. They put her on the road with the Goo Goo Dolls, and I remember the limo came up and picked her up, and off she went. And I looked. I remember her tears running down her eyes as her limo went down the street. I mean, it was like amazing. I just, you know, touched me that she was like, "Dad, I'm going away and world tour," you know. So, but she had to learn the hard way. She hadn't done much training. She had a really bad case of stage fright. And so we had to hire some people to go with her, a choreographer, to show her how to dress better and how to talk, because part of being an artist is more than just having a good voice. You have to become an entertainer,
right?
You know? So all these little things, if you try to do it on your own, you stumble, you trip, you fall. You make a mistake, you make a change, and you improve as you go. And a lot of times you may be 30 years old before you finally get to be a seasoned pro.
Right.
So I watched that whole experience, and I thought, well, why can't the average Joe get a seasoned pro to come in and work with him?
Right.
So we started having these Artist Max events, a four-day weekend, a three-day weekend, where we had the choreographer, we taught you how to dress like a rock star on a student's budget, and what not to do. Never get in the elevator when you got your hair in rollers, because it might be the guy that's going to sign your record deal. You know, sure enough, you get in, they think you're going to go in the elevator out of your hotel room. I'll just sneak down and get a Coke. And hey, excuse me, aren't you? You know, I'm
right.
So, but little things, the choreography, vocal lessons, songwriting lessons. We teach them publishing, the laws of you know, the rules of the road, kind of, so whatnot, what to watch out for if you want to be a manager, you know, of your artist, how you can help to your artist to get through the day, you know, get through the whole trial and what you have to do. So we have these great things. We have all these pros that are there. We have ASCAP and BMI, We have managers, we have artists. We had Christina Perry come out one time. We had David Foster come out one time and just work with the artists.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
You must be so proud of Colby.
Yeah, I am.
What a deal.
I mean, she's just, you know, she's just amazing. She just, you know, I taught her how to write songs. I taught her what a verse is. I taught her what a chorus is. I told her. I don't even want to take the word to say I taught her. I told her what a verse and a chorus right. was, and the relationship between a verse and a chorus and a bridge and all that stuff. And she just got it, Dad. Let me just write this song bubbly. Boom. She just got it.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Wow.
So with Colby, we got her vocal lessons early on, because at 12 years old, she was going around singing Lauryn Hill, you know, at the top of her lungs and killing me softly. And it was like, Colby, we don't want you hurting your voice. So
right.
I told her, you need to. If you're going to make it in this business and you can sing, we already know that, but what are you going to sing? All you're going to be able to sing is covers of somebody else's songs, and you can't make money doing that. Right. So I said, clearly what you need to do is learn to play an instrument and learn to write your own music. So she said, okay. So the first day she took guitar lessons, she wrote a song. And that's just...
And the rest is history. Yeah. Wow. We're Marshmallow Sky Studio with Ken Kelly. So let's talk about just your Fleetwood Mac experience, and that's what this book's about, Making Rumors, the inside story of the classic Fleetwood Mac album, Ken Kelly. What was it like? I mean, just give us kind of like, if you reflect on this experience, what was it like?
Well, working with Fleetwood, I was a young engineer. I loved, after the law school, and I learned how to engineer. I started practicing engineering at Wally Heider's, and my goal was, I figured I would, at night I would work in the studio after they were closed, and I would write a hit song and you know, be discovered. And but it didn't work that way. I fell in love with the art of engineering. I liked taking a guitar and putting a microphone, the right microphone on it, and making it sound unbelievable. And the same thing with the piano, same thing with the voice, same thing with violins. And so when I started working with Fleetwood, I did the same thing. They had me go up to Sausalito, and we started working on the Rumors album, and they would allow me to take Lindsey's guitar and do some stuff and put some effects on it and a reverb and same thing with... Anyway, I became the sixth member of the band, in essence. I was playing all of their instruments for them. So it was great for me. I was kind of more or less shy, but I got to sit in the control room between the two giant speakers in the control room and make them sound incredible. And they were just like, sure, Ken, take as much time as you want. You're making me sound better.
Yeah.
You know? So I got to work in a room about this size with all five of the band members. We'd come into the room in the morning. We'd say, what do you want to work on today? Well, let's work on this. And we would record that. And all day, in 12 hours, we'd all be sitting close and telling jokes and making the music, taking the lyrics and what they're saying, make sure that you take the vocal and you can hear that, and all the other instruments are just surrounding and supporting that.
How did you learn how to do this? Did somebody teach you that, or did you figure it out?
Figured it out.
You just figured it out.
Right. I mean, I always loved music, so, you play a guitar and you start singing. Let's see, where am I going to put the guitar? You know, where am I going to put the voice? So I've only got those two speakers. So it was fairly easy. You just put the vocal up, and then you got to make sure that guitar is at the right level to support the vocal. And then you can put a little reverb on the vocal. And you get it. You get that when you get the chills doing it yourself. You go, that's yeah. really nice. And that's the thing I love.
That is amazing.
About engineering and anybody, you should get into recording and engineering, because it's the gift. I don't paint. I don't. You know, I'm assuming I would do that if I was a director.
Yeah.
But when you make something that beautiful like that, you realize, you know, I'm an old man now, and I still get the chills.
Yeah, making beautiful music.
Yeah.
I mean, what a... And so were you surprised at Grammy nominations? And
no.
Grammy, like, all of a sudden, here we go.
The day we started, I said, okay, I'm going to make a proclaim that we are going to get a Grammy for this record. And they went, here, here. And I said, yeah, we're getting a Grammy.
And it happened.
But I was guaranteed I was going to make that guitar sounding as good as it's ever sounded. And the piano was going to sound good. And when I did all that stuff, they got chills too when they had their headphones on, and we started making magic. And I noticed that when I would do some things, they would respond with their instrumentation. Lindsay was playing guitar, and suddenly I had a little effect on it. And so he had to suddenly play his guitar a little slower to let the effect finish its expression. So it was just being, it was very subtle, but.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Like, what's your favorite Fleetwood Mac song?
I don't know. The Chain, maybe. Go Your Own Way. You Make Love and Fun. There's so many of them.
What a wild deal. Grammy Award Album of the Year for Rumors. Again, the book is Making Rumors, the inside story of Fleetwood Mac album with Ken Kelly. So, what, I mean, I think sometimes people in your shoes, you've accomplished a lot, 50 million, I mean, this is insane, but a lot of people, you know, may pack it in or, you know, just say, okay, I'm, you know, but you still seem hungry to me. You still seem like you're enjoying it. We play that song, I can see there's some emotion. This still gets you, doesn't it?
It does. It's just, I mean, those guitars sound so good.
Yeah.
You know, they just make me feel good. They just, I'm kind of crazy about that. But
yeah.
And I always tell, you know, anybody I'm working with, let's always try to go for the Grammy. Let's try to do 110%, you know, because you never know when you're going to be a part of history, when something you work on is going to be picked out. And so you better do your damn best to...
Yeah, nobody really, you don't know that. That's the thing. You get in the studio, nobody knows.
Right.
Right? I mean... So you're just doing it, and then you're making the magic as best as you can make the magic, but then you don't know where it's going to
fall. Right, I remember when we started recording Go Your Own Way, and Lindsay started to play the guitar, and I didn't know what it sounded like. He said, well, here's a song I got, and he started strumming this acoustic guitar, and he was strumming it so hard that he broke a string, but he was like, you can go your own way, and his vocal, his veins were sticking out of his neck. He was like pushing his heart so hard, and I thought, well, that's kind of not very pretty, you know.
Right.
But once we layered all the stuff in it, it supported the instrumentation. So you never know. When Colby wrote the song Bubbly, she came downstairs. We had just moved to a new house, and she said, Dad, I don't ever write songs anymore. I said, because you're always running around, going out. I said, we just moved into a new house. Why don't you stay home this weekend? You can clean your room and write our song. And she did. She came down on Sunday night, and I wrote this song called Bubbly. And she was auditioning for American Idol on that Monday at Dodger Stadium or wherever it was. And she said, I'm going to go down and audition Bubbly. And they gave her the boot right away. Because she wasn't an entertainer yet. Right? So she was going... He'd been a da 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 da. I'm very shy, and you know, and she was, and somebody else in the parking lot was going, yeah, 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 you know,
right.
And they were entertaining.
Right.
Colby didn't get it, but it was a great lesson.
Right.
I told Randy Jackson when I saw him, I said, you know, you guys gave her the boot when she wrote. They said, eh. Anyway.
It happens. We don't win them all.
Right. But you never know what the song is going to turn out.
Yeah, right. That's the point. I mean, so here you are. You're in the studio. This guy's next veins are popping out, and he's singing "Go Your Own Way," and you're going, "That's a little, you know." And then you smooth it out, and now that song comes on the radio, and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody today, 50 years later, whatever, is singing along with the song, and you remember the guy with the neck veins, and that's the story. Like, that's to me, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like. Because then you're like, this is going to go on forever.
And I couldn't have done it without Lindsey Buckingham. I couldn't have done it without any of them.
Yeah.
Because Lindsey heard stuff, and he kept, I always say it's like putting frosting on a cake. He knew exactly where to put the frosting in. Like there was, we had to go your own way. Kind of it worked out in its fundamental structure. But he said, you know, I need to add a guitar because nobody knows where the one is, right, and the beat. So he comes in. We mic his guitar up and he plays with the song starting da 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 da, and then he goes da 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 da, and I had to layer that into the song, but that indicated where the beat one beat is. So you da da two three four da 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 da. But he heard that.
Yeah.
You know, he filled in the blanks. He said there was stuff still missing that he was hearing in his head. And so it was my job to help him get it out of his head and onto the tape. And that's what an engineer does. That's what a producer does.
Yeah. That is such an amazing thing. We're almost out of time. But when you think we just started. I know.
What kind of show is this?
Yeah, right. What, when you look back, do you spend much time reflecting? Or are you always looking forward? What kind of a guy are you? Are you kind of a futurist visionary? Or are you... Do you spend a lot of time reflecting?
I kind of look around at a lot.
I
just made a calendar of my life from the time I was born. I put in what I did every year and kind of saying like, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I had that car. And I just, because when you get older, the days have gone so fast, and a lot of little days make up, you know, a lot of years. So I like to look back and see. Yeah.
Moments.
Golden moments.
Yeah. I think moments are so important. And back, and to be honest with you, music plays into so many moments.
Right.
If I hear this song, it takes me to the high school dance. Mm-hmm. If I hear it's just amazing how that happens.
Right.
I mean, we play, so my first daughter got married 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
December 17th, a month ago. And so... when she was young, we would dance. We in Dallas, we had this weird house, and they had a rotunda, like it was almost like this, and it was like almost like a dance floor. And so we would dance. Sometimes she'd have me put on a tuxedo, and we would dance to this song called Cinderella. Stephen Curtis Chapman, he's a Christian artist, mm-hmm. and the song is Cinderella, right? And so we do that, and we're pretending like it's the wedding, the daddy daughter dance. Then we had it. Right, mm-hmm. when the song came on, she was a little girl again, and I was like,
yeah,
and my mind was blown.
Oh,
like, here I am, you know what I mean? But it was the song that kind of came through the years mm-hmm. with us, and this song that's so powerful itself. But I think there's something about music and moments that take us back and take us places and take us out of ourselves and take us deeper. You know, so I'm a huge fan, and what you do here, is so powerful. So
I mean, I come here every day and I keep wanting to make another Rumors, you know, but
yeah,
I can't do it without that band or a band or the right band.
Right.
We're getting some musicians coming in next week, and I've asked them to write some songs and create some music and maybe put something up there or put something over there and something that makes you and feel, you know, inspired and emotional and see what kind of lyrics you come up with that kind of environment around you.
Yeah, this is a launch pad in a sense.
And I know we're going to.
I believe it'll happen.
Yeah, right here.
I can't wait to follow it. Marshmallow Skies, the book is Making Rumors, the inside story of the classic Fleetwood Mac album with this legend in the music business, Ken Kaleigh. It's been such an honor. Hope you'll check out Marshmallow Skies. Stop by, get to know this whole work. It's an amazing. And Artist Max, for upcoming artists, musicians, I'd encourage you to check out Artist Max because they're in terms of mentoring guidance, artistmax.org is where you want to go. Artistmax.org, Ken Kaleigh, founder and CEO. So glad. Thank you, man.
And we have songwriting and all that stuff.
I love it. What a great
Dean,
thing.
Dean, thank you.
Great to be here. Thank you all for joining us. Good life.